Grace to you and peace from our risen Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Now there was a Pharisee named Nicodemus, a leader of the Jews. He came to Jesus by night. Have you ever come to Jesus by night? Like Nicodemus, you may have come with a sense of uncertainty, even about uncertainty of matters of faith. So these are uncertain times that we live in, whether it is in family life or maybe there's some health concerns some of you may have, or economic well-being, or even the spread of this coronavirus brings us into a time of uncertainty. And really we look to our faith and want our faith to be a solid place in which we can stand in times of uncertainty. So how do we speak of God during times of uncertainty? Well, there's something I want to say right up front, that God does not bring earthquakes and floods and wars and disease in order to punish people. God doesn't want people to suffer and die because they don't believe in God as we do. God loves all people. And furthermore, God wants us to be helping hands, with our hands and hearts and minds and all our strength to help be a blessing in God's love for humanity. We hear today in our scripture that God loves and blesses all of humanity. So if you want to say what is the gospel for today in a nutshell, it is this: God so loves the world. You know that phrase very well from scripture, don't you? I'm putting it into the present tense. God loves, not just loved once, but God loves the world so much. Our first reading from scripture today is from Genesis 12, and it tells about Abraham and Sarah being blessed to be a blessing. And all of us in our second reading are called children of Abraham and Sarah by faith. Our first reading should be set in the context, however, of the whole opening of book of Genesis. It's sort of like a response to Genesis 5 through chapters 9 in the story of Noah. Now, most people may remember the story of Noah because of the great flood, or maybe the animals marching into the ark two by two, or that somehow God was angry and mad at the unfaithfulness of his human creatures. But the most important part of this story is the ending. It's the ending that is the reason why this story of Noah is included in the Bible. Because at the end of the story, God's mind is changed. And God made a unilateral promise. He didn't negotiate with his human creatures or with the earth. He made a unilateral promise not to destroy humanity, but to bless it. Genesis chapter 8, verse 21, God says, "I will never again curse the ground because of humankind." So pandemics and earthquakes and wars and growth of cancer cells and depression, this is not God's act of vengeance. Instead, God chooses another way. And God put a rainbow in the clouds to remind God of his own promise. So here's God's plan, and this brings us to our first reading for today. God decided to call Abraham and Sarah and from them create a people of faith. And now you and I, as those who are baptized into Christ, share in that people of faith that God created. It's through God's people of faith that God is bringing a blessing to all the world. So the story of Abraham and Sarah begins with God saying to Abraham, "Go from your father's land to a place that I will show you." Abraham and Sarah were called to be immigrants to a new land. Talk about uncertainty. We can see that in the lives of immigrants and people who are displaced here in our own time. God didn't give them a GPS or even a road map, didn't even give them a destination, and this is where you're going. Didn't give them a work permit or a green card. God simply said, go. Go, and I will show you the way, and I will be with you during this time of uncertainty in your life. But what God did give them was a promise. God said, I will make of you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great so that you will be a blessing, and all the families of the earth shall be blessed. All the families of the earth, that means all people, not just people like us. This story is the preamble to the rest of the Bible, from Genesis to Jesus and now to us who are the people of faith here and now today. We are children of Abraham and Sarah by faith and brothers and sisters of Jesus by baptism, and God continues to call you and me into times of uncertainty, into times when we live without a sense of the adequate resources that we think we need, into times when we may have more fear and doubt than faith, and yet it is in these times of uncertainty that we may in fact come even closer to this God who is with us and who is showing us the way. I wonder if there have been people in your lives who have been a blessing to you. I'm sure there are. A woman who was a blessing to me was Giovanna D'Agostino. She was already in her 50s when she and her two adult sons decided to move from Chicago. We'd been down on our luck, she would tell people in her story. She moved to Minneapolis and started an Italian restaurant. That was in 1965. She opened this little restaurant in what had been a barber shop. They had a half dozen tables and a lunch counter. It was in a neighborhood that was adjacent to the University of Minnesota. They called Dinkytown. Bob Dylan hung out there, and he wrote a song about the place. It was before he became famous. He hung out in Dinkytown, positively 4th Street, if you know Dylan's music. Giovanna D'Agostino served up generous portions of spaghetti and lasagna and all the French bread you could eat. Soon her little restaurant had students lined up outside the door waiting to get in to get a table. And she would not only give out great food, but she would also have a word of wisdom, sometimes a word of correction as well. She'd look you in the eye, as she did to me, and say, God's watching you. Remember, God loves you, she would say. I was one of those students, and we all began to call her Mama D, and she called us her students. For me, her little restaurant was a little home away from home, and she was a second mother. Mama D was a woman of deep faith. She was an Italian Catholic with family roots in Sicily. She had a portrait of the Pope as you entered into her restaurant, had a crucifix in her kitchen. I remember coming to her restaurant one evening for a meal, and it was about this time of year, still winter in Minneapolis. And I found the line extraordinarily long, stretching out her door and down 4th Street and around the corner. And I asked, what was going on? Someone in the line told me that Mama D was giving a free meal. And while I was standing there, I learned that this was her way of saying thank you to the students who had helped her make her restaurant a success. Still later, when I got to know her personally, I learned that this was her way of honoring her patron saint, Saint Joseph. Every year about that time on March 19th, which is Saint Joseph's Day, Mama D gave a free meal to the community. And one year she served over 3,500 people. She continued to do that tradition for 42 years. This big-hearted woman of faith also went to jails and to prisons and shared her Italian cooking. She was a favorite on some of the afternoon TV shows that played at that time, and the guest of Dinah Shore and Regis Philbin, and her friend Tony Bennett, when he came to town, would bring her a dozen roses. So Mama D was invited to be a speaker at my daughter's confirmation banquet. And she told this church group about one of her students. He was a 1960s hippie who had come by her restaurant from time to time, especially when he was feeling down. And he would stop back, and one day in the 1980s, he came in again and told her that he was dying. He was dying of AIDS. He was planning his own funeral. He'd even selected a reference for his gravestone. He wanted her to know this. Along with his name was a reference, John 3:16. She asked him why. She expected a philosophic answer. He'd been a philosophy major. Instead, he said, "Whenever I came to see you when I was depressed or in recovery, you'd put a plate of spaghetti in front of me and say, 'Remember, God so loves the world, and God does not make junk.' And then you would hold me with one of your big Mama D hugs. And you know, I came to believe it." He was loved into believing. Mama D died in 2009 on March 17th at the age of 94, 2 days before St. Joseph's Day. Have you been told lately that God so loves the world and God does not make junk? Do you believe it? I know I do. In our gospel story for today from John chapter 3, we meet Nicodemus. Nicodemus was a religious leader, well-educated, highly articulate, probably dressed well, had an income that was in the upper tax brackets. Most of Nicodemus's colleagues didn't trust Jesus. They thought he was coloring outside the theological lines, undermining their authority. But Nicodemus had a problem. There was something in his heart that was touched by Jesus. There was something of a burning cry within him. He wondered, how can Jesus do these miracles that bring goodness into the lives of people and restore them to a right relationship with God if God is not with him? We see that Nicodemus also had doubts. Doubts not only about his colleagues' rush to judgment of Jesus, but also about his own faith. It was a time of uncertainty for Nicodemus. Who was this rabbi anyway who was touching him in a place that was deep within? So under the cover of night, Jesus comes to Jesus and opens a conversation with a statement that suggests that he might be open to the possibility of believing that the signs that Jesus was doing was coming from God's presence in Jesus' life. But Jesus doesn't say, "Well, Nick, that's really nice that you're coming to believe that God is with me." What Jesus does is responds to what Nicodemus has done, that he has come out of hope, come with uncertainty, come with a sense of wanting to know more. Jesus says to him, "Very truly, I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God without being born from above." There was something of a birthing cry going on within Nicodemus. Still, Nicodemus was struggling with uncertainty. How can someone be born from above? Jesus answers, "Very truly, I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God without being born of water and the Spirit." Again, Nicodemus struggles with uncertainty of faith and says, "How can these things be?" So Jesus explains to Nicodemus about God's love that is born of the Spirit and says those words that are so well known, "For God so loves the world." You know, we don't hear what Nicodemus said after that point. I think that he may have said nothing and simply left in silence, filled with a sense of awe and wonder and the Spirit in him blowing where it will. Later in John's Gospel, we do see that Nicodemus shows up in two different times. One is that he stands up and defends Jesus and before his colleagues and says, let's hear him out. And the other was on the day that Jesus died and Nicodemus joined with Joseph of Arimathea in taking Jesus' body down from the cross. And we see that Nicodemus brought 100 pounds of myrrh and aloes to anoint Jesus' body in preparation for his burial. This is a time of great uncertainty for many in our world and maybe even some of you in this room. What question would you bring as you come to Jesus by night? We do not know where our life of faith will take us. Like Abraham and Sarah, it is simply enough that God will show us the way and be with us and guide us along the way and bless us in that time of uncertainty. It's enough for us to know that we are part of God's plan to be a blessing to all the peoples of the earth. It is enough that we are part of Jesus' mission that is stated so simply that God so loves the world. And as Jesus' followers, we can say God does not make junk. And we can say that to one another, and we can say that to ourselves. Let the Spirit touch you from above this day and stir deep within you until you hear that warning cry. And like Nicodemus, we come to this moment of leaving, this moment with Jesus in times of uncertainty. We leave with awe and we leave with wonder. Amen.